In a Metta Sutta, it says, Karaniyamatta Kusalena Yantan Santam Padam Abhisamecha. Sakko Ujocha Sujocha Sujocha Sabudwanati Vahani. He who is skilled in working out his own well-being and who wishes to attain that state of calm Nibbana should act thus. He should be upright, exceedingly upright, obedient, gentle and humble. So these words, this upright, exceedingly upright, and then obedient, gentle and humble, we have marked that one in a diagram. So this is the Vattupam Sutta diagram. And you can see that we have marked upright and exceedingly upright over here. What is meant by upright and exceedingly upright? One day when I was doing the meditation, I found that my mind is not getting concentrated. And then I was looking at why my mind is not getting concentrated. And then I found the day before that day that some people came to our house. And then I was making jokes here and there. So my mind is about to get concentrated. My mind is going to those jokes. So I consider these jokes as frivolous jokes, and then these frivolous jokes are harming me, harming my meditation. So I decided that I am not going to have these frivolous jokes hereafter. So then that day the meditation is over, and then the next day and so on, its meditation is working well. And then about 2 weeks later, I found another day that my mind is not getting concentrated. So then I was looking at why my mind is not getting concentrated. And then I found that day I did not have frivolous talks, but then I had harsh speech. So then I decided this harsh speech is harming me, harming my meditation, and I am not going to do this harsh speech anymore. So day by day, you take these precepts and then you abide by that one. So upright means that you know that we have the precepts in the Eightfold Path. That is, you are referring from lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. Those are the verbal things that you do. And then you are refraining from killing, stealing and sexual misconduct. So those seven precepts you take, and only when you approve it, the approve means upright, and then you abide by that one, that is the exceedingly upright. You see, over here, Europeans are there, and then they actually think that it is okay to kill animals. So as far as they are thinking that it is okay to kill animals, then the killing will continue. If one day they approve that that it is wrong to do that one, then that day onwards, they will try to, prevent it, not to kill it. So you need to abide, the first approve it, and then you are abiding by that one exceedingly upright. So one is needed to have the number two, second one. So upright, exceedingly upright, and then the obedient is marked over here. This obedient thing is not normal obedient thing that we are talking about. And this one was sort of explained by Venerable Moggallana in the Anumana Sutta, Inference Discourse in Middle and Say. And here Venerable Moggallana says that, friend, though a bhikkhu asked thus, let the venerable ones admonish me, I needed to be admonished by the venerable ones. Yet if he is difficult to admonish and possesses qualities that make him difficult to admonish, if he is impatient and does not take instructions rightly, then his companions in the holy life think that he should not be admonished or instructed. They think of him as a person not to be trusted. So Venerable Moggallana is explaining the opposite of this obedient thing. And then he says what qualities make him difficult to admonish. Here, Bhikkhu has evil wishes and is dominated by evil wishes. This is a quality that makes him difficult to admonish. You see, if a monk is fond of this robe material and the temples and so on, then it is difficult to admonish. Buddha asked them to sort of not clinging to those things. And that is the first quality. And the second one, again, a bhikkhu loves himself and disparages others. This is a quality that makes him difficult to admonish. Here, let us say, there are these two monks, senior monk and the junior monk. Then junior monk see the senior monk is breaking some sort of a rule. And out of compassion, that junior monk is saying, one day you break this rule. And then the senior monk is saying, you think you are capable of admonishing me. That is wrong. Even if a small child in your house is telling you, father, mother, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. If it is the correct thing, then you need to abide by that. Otherwise, you are throwing away the truth. And then again, a bhikkhu is angry and overcome by anger. And this is a quality that makes him difficult to admonish. If someone is angry, no one is going to instruct that person. Again, it says that a bhikkhu, you know, yesterday we learned this envy, stinginess, the derogation and disparaging. And if you have those things, then it is difficult to admonish. So Venerable Moggallana says that if you don't have these things, envy, stinginess, derogation and disparaging and the anger, then that person is obedient. Suvacha is the Pali word. For that person, he does not need to ask that let those Venerable ones instruct me. And those Venerable ones will come and instruct them because this person is obedient. So what is the connection of this obedient thing to this upright, exceedingly upright? Let us say in a village, there is a poor person. He eats a meal today. Tomorrow he is not eating. But that person is not killing any animals. And then this person is going to another village, then he can see there is a big house and then there is a big gate and a big parapet wall and someone is coming out of that house in a Benz car. So then this person is asking villagers, who is that person? So they are saying he is the person who is having a chicken farm. So now this particular villager, he is not actually going to he is not envy. The other person is actually going in a Benz car. And he is not thinking the other person is having a good time. He is eating chicken and so on. So the stinginess regarding gain is not there. And this poor villager, he is not taking these qualities. You know that not killing is a good thing. And he is not throwing it out. And he is not disparaging either. You know that rather than not killing, do the killing. Remember this disparaging always separate your friend's friend like that. So you are not going to separate that your good quality over there. It's remaining. So therefore, when you become upright and exceedingly upright, then you become obedient. So this obedient thing is not a simple thing. If someone is obedient and that person knows another Dhamma, that is every perception is sick, then he can stop thinking. If you want to think, you can think. Otherwise, you can stop thinking. So when you become obedient, you become gentle. To explain this gentle thing over here, we need to explain this courteous thing written over here. The opposite of courteousness is that impoliteness, or rude. So this impoliteness is three kinds. There is this bodily impoliteness, the verbal impoliteness, and the mental impoliteness. The bodily impoliteness is, let us say, this monk has got an order The first one is the first one, the second one is the second one. And this person is breaking the order and he is putting his body before the first monk. So that is bodily impoliteness. And then there is this verbal impoliteness. Let us say that there are people get together, or the monks are together, and then this person is going there. Nobody is inviting that person to preach Dhamma. Then he preaches Dhamma. So that is wrong. That is the verbal impoliteness. Even the Buddha preached Dhamma with the invitation of Sambhati Mahabrahma. So I saw this verbal impoliteness when I was working in Australia. That I went to a meeting is starting at 9 o'clock. 5 minutes to 8 o'clock. That this person started talking. And he talked for 20 minutes, didn't let the chairman utter a word. So that is wrong. If there is a chairman, then you should let the chairman do his job. And it is the responsibility of the chairman to ask you a question. You should be answering and if you ask the question. So otherwise you have the verbal impoliteness. And then the mental impoliteness is that, let us say there is a king and the servant, and the servant is respectful for the king and serving the king. And then one day, both king and the servant decided that we become monks. When they become monks, now the servant is thinking, I am equivalent to the king. In other words, by becoming a monk, what did he achieve? Like, you know, the king's family members are having a good time. I'm also included in such a happiness. Now, if they disrobe themselves, then you can see that king will become the king, the servant become the servant. So the difference will emerge at this particular time. And on the other hand, you know that people, the Buddhist monks who are going in the alms route, the laypersons are respectful for them. So this monk is never going in the alms round and he is thinking he is equivalent to once they are going on alms round. Not being a preacher of Dhamma, he is thinking he is a preacher of Dhamma. Not having the first jhana attainment, he is thinking I am equivalent to those who have attained. You know, maybe that when you are meditating for a millisecond or so, you get the rapture. And after the meditation, having a meal, then you are thinking, okay, today I went to the first jhana, I had the rapture. So who in the world that abiding in the first jhana? Oh, Brahma, then I am equivalent to the Brahma. This person after death might go to hell, but the other one in the Brahma realm, they manage to maintain it. That is the attainment. So similarly, the second, third, fourth and eighth jhana, not having the eighth jhana attain one level, one would be thinking that I am equivalent to those who have attained to such and such state. So that is the mental impoliteness. So Sampati Mahabrahma says, if you don't have bodily impoliteness and the verbal impoliteness, then you are gentle. You still can have mental impoliteness. So I ask Sampati Mahabrahma, what is the connection to this, you know, volitional formations over here, not killing, not stealing sort of scenario. Then he says that you are not ordering these volitional formations. You see that the bodily impoliteness, that you are putting your body next to the first monk. Why is it? You are thinking, my volitional formations are better. Construction of this body is also volitional formation. So the first monk is now old. He can't answer question. I am the one who can answer question. So you put your body in the first place. So in other words, you are ordering. My one is better. If you are not doing that one, then from the obedient, you become gentle. So when you become gentle, then you become humble. You know, the opposite of humble is this arrogance over here. So yesterday we mentioned that if you don't, the condition for the arrogance is the lack of virtue. Now today we started with virtue, upright, exceedingly upright. So the seven precepts are there. So you become obedient, gentle, and then you become humble. So this is the first gatha. So let us look at the second gatha. Santusa kocha subarocha appakichocha sallavuka utti santrindiyocha nipakocha appagabbu kulesu annu gindu. Control, santusa kocha. So, santusa kocha is contented. Are we contented? We are not, isn't it? When we are eating, sometimes we are thinking it would be really good to have a bit of pickle over here to make it tastier. So we are not contented. But a Buddhist monk who is going in the alms round, he would eat whatever thing offered to him. So it is contented. Subarocha means easily supportable. Buddha is saying, if a monk is using only, you know, eight requisite robe materials, then that monk is like a bird. You know, bird will take its wings and go wherever it is. Likewise, you take eight requisite robe materials and then you go. Today you are in a temple. Tomorrow you are sleeping underneath the tree. And the next day maybe you are in the potter's house where they are making pottery. You are sleeping in that place. So that's how Buddha lived. Then such a person is very easy to support because you need only the food. So if you are holding the temple, then you need to support the temple as well. You know, maintenance of this temple is up to the lay persons, and it is this, the if the monk is holding to that one, that is the problem. And then with few responsibilities. So that is upper kitchen. So if you don't have few responsibilities, then you are busy. Some people are really happy to say, I am busy, isn't it? Then it looks like an important person. And if you are busy, then do you have time to do the meditation? You don't. But then this busyness, how you actually make it? You are doing on your own. And one example I can give is from Sri Lanka. Now, if you are living in a one-story building, and if your next door neighbor, because his house is broken, he construct two-story building, then this person is thinking, I will construct three-story building. Go beyond that, there's this person. Now, for you to do that one, then you need to have a bigger loan. That to pay back the bigger loan, then you need to work more hours. Now the 8 hours, now you are working 12 hours. I met someone like that one. He was telling me that he could not even sleep at night time. He was afraid that bank will come and take my house. So he said the only happiness he had was when he's when underneath the bow tree leaves are making a noise. And he said that was the only happiness. And he decided, somehow I will pay this loan and get rid of this suffering part. He managed to do that one, but I have met some people who could not do that. Bank has taken their house. You see, when you are living, sitting down over here, you are in a sort of a 2 feet by 3 feet area. And you are in a bigger hole is inside your mind. So likewise, you know, if your house is not getting wet, and then you can live, then that is good enough. You don't need to think, I need to have a bigger house. If your vehicle, you know, four wheels are rotating, that you can make up the work, then that is good enough. You don't need to think, I got to have a Benz car or something. So leave out the money that you spend on those things and save the time, and then you can do the meditation. And then we got to have a simple livelihood. And the next word is the controlling the senses, prudent, courteous, and not handcuffed, associated with families. We have marked these things in the diagram. That is this controlling the senses, number 6. Now, before going to number 6, where were you? You were in this one, number 5, humble. So, being humble is the qualification for you to control the senses. So, how can we understand that only? In other words, if I am arrogant, then I can't control my senses. So, remember, yesterday we said that a 16-year-old girl, if she is beautiful, she is arrogant. So, how does this girl know that she is beautiful? What is the measurement? The yardstick is that others are looking at you. I remember watching a sort of a TV program long time ago, and they were sort of interviewing an actress, and she is old now, and she is saying, if no one is looking, then there is no point. You got to look. So the 16-year-old girl, just to determine whether she is beautiful, she is looking at the other people. Are they actually looking at me? So when you look at, then you see their body parts, you know, this is up above and this is below and so on. So you can't control senses. So we are talking about the humble. So therefore you can control senses. Although we mentioned using that example, the Dhamma part is more on this particular case. So for that one, I will be using a diagram. This diagram was constructed to discuss the whole taint discourse. I found some relationship between the taint of views to taint of sensual desire. This is available in the Abhidhamma Pitaka, Pattanapali 3 book. And this red arrow is going both ways. The taint of views going to the taint of ignorance. Taint of ignorance going to the taint of views. And taint of ignorance is contributing to the taint of sensual desire. And taint of sensual desire is contributing to taint of ignorance. And the taint of existence is sort of isolated, it is contributing to taint of ignorance. They are valuable links, but you don't need all of them. Just use one of them. Taint of views. If I have taint of views, then I get taint of sensual desire. What is the effect of this one? You say you meditate in the morning, that these 32 parts of the body or dead body and so on. And then you get dressed and then you are going to work. So when you are going to work, then people are coming in front of you. Having seen someone, you are saying, this person is so beautiful. And little while later, you come to your mindfulness and then you are thinking, what am I saying? In the morning, I said, it's disgusting body. Now I am saying it's beautiful. Isn't my meditation working for me? Although you think that way, it's like someone is inside you. Is saying, look, otherwise you are going to lose the chance to see that person. Who is telling this? It is the taint of views. Because that you have perceived those objects before and touched them and so on. So there is this taint of views. Now taint of views is pushing you to have the taint of sensual desire. Taint of sensual desire is the forced perception of you taking something as pleasurable. So, in other words, look, otherwise you are going to miss the chance being that person. Having look, you get the pleasure. So, in other words, when you look at someone, then two people are hitting you. One is that person's, this body is such and such, you know, sign and features are there. The other one is the taint of views pushing you. Look, otherwise you are going to lose the chance to see that. So, if you are humble means you are not giving any value to the volitional formation like killing, stealing. So by giving a value to killing, then you get become, you know, you get the permanency. Now, post perception of permanency is the taint of views. So, since I am not giving value, then I have less taint of views. Since I have less taint of view, I have less taint of sensual desire. In other words, two persons are not hitting me. Now I can control my eye. They are controlling the senses. So, in other words, you can see humble means I am not giving value to original formations like killing. So, and then I have the less taint of views. So, therefore, I have a less taint of sensual desire. So, I can control my senses. So, the general condition for this arrogance is that, you know, killing, stealing. Now, since we have given up killing, stealing, so upright, exceedingly upright, we become obedient and then gentle and then you become humble. So, how do we understand the connection between this volitional formation to arrogance? Let's take that villager's example. Let us say this villager also thought at that day, having seen that person is going in the Benz car, okay, I will do the same. So then he also got a chicken farm, and then he got a, you know, two-story building, and he's now going in a Benz car. His children are going to international school. So one day he hears that the monkeys preach in Dhamma. So he gets these 8 requisite robe materials to offer to the monk, and he has not still offered that it is in his lap. And when the monk is preaching Dhamma, he is saying it is not good to kill animals, then you will be born in hell. So then what he actually sees is the 8 requisite robe material that is having in his lap. I mean, look at it, he look at the other way around. Well, these other people are poor. They don't have any money to buy 8 requisite raw material. And they don't have even food to eat. Now, I got this 8 requisite raw material because I'm having a chicken farm. Now, when I'm coming to the temple, people smile and open the door in my Benz car. And, you know, with respect, sir, please come. And so those days, I was, you know, sort of dying. I didn't have any food to eat. Today, even the doctor is coming to my house. And also, you know, that my children are going to international school. So he became arrogant. For what? That he became arrogant. That he is having a chicken farm. He's killing. That's what it is. And also we become arrogant as well, you know. Now having applied to that chicken farm thing, apply to yourself. So you are also having that, you know, tie coat and so on. Then you are going in a car and getting down thinking I am an engineer, I am a doctor. Where are we going? We are going to steal, isn't it? Going to work is considered as stealing. So since you are now you have the virtue over here. You are not killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, harsh speech, all those are gone. Therefore, you become humble, not arrogant. You have become humble. So, when you become humble, then you can control the senses because no two persons are hitting you because the permanence is gone. So, when you come over here, you might remember a gatha in Dhammapada. It says, kayena samvaro sadhu. In other words, it's better to restrain your bodily actions, verbal actions, mental actions. It's good to restrain all of them. So, therefore, you can become prudent as well. Or else, I can give you an example. When I was working in Canberra, I used to walk in that lake area in Canberra, and then I was meditating. You know the meditation you did yesterday, this birth, aging, sickness, death. For you to contemplate that one, you don't need to sit down. While walking also, you can do that one. I can go to jhana concentration as well. So one day I found I can't walk over here because it's going to rain. So there is a nearby big shopping mall. Then I thought, let me walk inside the shopping mall. When I was entering the shopping mall, so I thought, you know, when I was walking in the lake area, only a couple of people, jogging people I meet. But over here, there are these people wearing split clothes and so on. So then I have to control my senses. I should look down and walk. So even for looking down and walking, you got to have guts. Because that these days, how they train you, they are saying, you look this way, you look that way, say hi, bye, and go. Looking down is not good. Although Buddha is saying that is good one. So I can tell you, one person in my office told me one day, I saw you coming, I'm walking and, you know, meditating and I'm walking. So he said, frustrated looking down. So I smile at that person because I know I'm happy. So if you have someone like that one in your office, and if that person is talking to someone and looking at you, what do you think? You think this person is talking about what I did, isn't it? So then some people go mentally down with it, with that one. Do you know the strength that you have at that particular time? This was told to me by one of the divine beings called Sumana Sama. He said, recollect the virtue that you have, the virtue in the Eightfold Path. Did I lie? Did I have harsh speech? Did I have frivolous talks and slander? If you are pure on those four counts, then you have the strength. Did I kill? Did I steal? Did I have sexual misconduct? If you are pure on those three counts, then you are pure on seven counts. So that is your strength. So if you have that strength, you are not afraid to go and meet the king either. So I have that strength. So I thought, it doesn't matter whether office crowd see me or not. I will look down and then walk. I got a sort of effort over there, and then this rapture started flowing from my head. So then I was walking. For the 40 minutes, the rapture was there with me. And then after that one, I went to the office and I was thinking, this is how I walk today. And again, rapture started flowing in my head. So I can see that controlling the senses, then you become prudent. When you become prudent, then you become courteous. Remember, we learn the bodily impoliteness, verbal impoliteness, and the mental impoliteness. When you become gentle, the bodily impoliteness and the verbal impoliteness is gone. You can still have the mental impoliteness. In other words, that you are thinking that you are equivalent to, you know, king and myself are equivalent. That's what you are thinking. You are putting yourself up. But why do you think like that? And you are thinking king is having a good time. Is king having a good time? You know, you need to ask the king himself. So then he will tell. There is a nice discourse that there was a monk in the Buddha's time, that this monk is sitting down underneath the tree. All the time he is saying, what a pleasure when he is sitting down. Then the other monks look at this incident and then they thought that this monk is not doing the Brahma Viharin. Noble living he is not doing. He is considering this one as a pleasurable thing. So then they inform Buddha. Then Buddha asked that monk to come, and then Buddha asked, are you saying such a thing? He said, yes, sir. Then Buddha asked, why you are saying such a thing? And that monk said, before I was becoming a monk, I was a king. And when I was in the palace, the whole palace was guarded by the guards. But I was afraid someone will come and kill me. And when I was with the queen. That room was guarded by the guards. But I was still afraid. Today I don't have anyone. And I just sit down underneath the tree. And that is my pleasure. Now you can see when President of the America, President of Sri Lanka, and then when they are going. Then this, they are going in a bulletproof cars. They are afraid someone will shoot them. So you don't have such a fear, but you have other fears. So this prudent person is not thinking, and the king and myself are equal. He is thinking, king, you have experiment, king has experiment. We both are suffering. So then he become courteous. When you become courteous, then you are coming to the number 9, not handcuffed associate with families. This handcuffed associate with families is closely connected to this feeling. You know, let us say you die today, and then where would you be born? So the European person might be thinking, I'll be born over here, going to a European mother's womb. And Sri Lankan person might be thinking that I'll be going to a Sri Lankan mother's womb. Because you define that way, you get the happiness. So it is a sort of a relative thing, and it is associated with the feeling. So that this person is not handcuffed associated with families. In other words, the king family is having a good time, and you are not thinking that royals are having a good time. So that is number 9 over here. So we have learned 2 gathas. And then let us go to the 3rd one. Nachakuddan samachare kinchena vinyu pareyu kodeyu subino vake minohantu sabbe satta bhavantu sukhitatta. Let him not perform the slightest wrong for which wise men may rebuke him. Let him think, may all beings be happy and safe, and may they have happy minds. So here we are saying, we have this, let they have happy minds. We have marked over here in the diagram, number 10, may all beings be happy, sukhita chitta. So here, having given up this killing, stealing things, and then apart from those things, and apart from this bad mental conduct, then you are actually wishing others not to have the suffering. So let they, may all beings be happy. Now before coming over here, where were you? You were in number 9. Then the number 9 is the qualification for you to spread the loving kindness. In other words, if you are handcuffed associate families, then you can't spread loving kindness. Let us look at an example. And some of you are aware that in Sri Lanka, there was a war. And by that time, a Tamil Tiger leader died. So then a certain group of people said, it is good this guy is dead. And another group of people said, oh, our leader is dead. Now they are sort of sitting on a sort of a family structure over there, you know, that like a carpet. So let's just sweep the carpet across. And then those people who were saying that it is good, this guy is dead. Now they are saying, oh, our leader is dead. Those people who were saying our leader is dead, now they are saying it is good, this guy is dead. So you can see this handcuffed associate with families is the problem, isn't it? Now those people who were spreading loving kindness before, you know that those who were saying it is good, this guy is dead. And when they actually predict loving kindness, and then the Tamil Nadu leader's picture is coming in front of them, then they don't have metta, no loving kindness after that. In others, they have a hole in their metta bucket, loving kindness bucket. So that is why we are saying, it is wrong to spread the loving kindness to yourself. When you are saying loving kindness to yourself means me, my family, you know, my crowd, my people. When you put someone outside, and then your metta bucket will not last. So although we say it in that way, remember yesterday also we said that this there is a lobha over here which you will destroy when you become a noble person. So if you are hankering after associating with families, that means you are nailing your coffin over here. You can't remove the lobha. So don't say let I be well. Spread the loving kindness to all the other people. It's a wrong thing to do, to spread to oneself. You are associated with family in that case. So although we explain using this example, the Dhamma part is more deeper than that one. Not tank after associating with families means it's not mine. That means not mine means you get the right view. From the right view, you get the right thought. That is thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. So you are following through the non-greed, non-hate, non-delusion path. It is in the greed path that we have lying as well as this stealing. Since I am following through the non-greed path, I will be giving up lying as well as stealing. I am following through the non-hate path. Since I am following through the non-hate path, I will be giving up things that are in the hate path. What are they? That's harsh speech, slander, as well as killing. And then I am following through the non-delusion path. It is in the delusion path that we do have these frivolous talks as well as the sexual misconduct. Since I am following through the non-delusion path, I will be giving up those things. So then you can see I have 8 skill state of the mind. We start with the 7 skill states, you know, the killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. When we say upright, we got rid of that one. And then we got rid of lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. So we got 7 skill states. And there are bad things we do from the mind as well. That is wrong will and the ill will and the covetousness. So now, when we say not handcuffed associating with families means it's not mine. So then you got rid of the wrong view and you have the right view. So you got to have 8 skill state of the mind to spread the loving kindness. That is the qualification. That is correct, isn't it? Let us say you are sort of stabbing an animal, and then can you say let you be well? You can't. Then let us say you are, you know, have a harsh speech for someone, and then after that one, can you say that you be well? No, if you don't have harsh speech, killing and so on, then you are qualified to spread the loving kindness. Still, although we say in that way, which is little bit deeper, and not hankering after associating with families means not mine, then you get the right view, from the right view you get the right thought. So you need to couple that one with the twofold thought discourse so that you can come to the left side of it. So that twofold thought discourse says that Buddha was still, he was a bodhisattva to be enlightened. The bodhisattva got sensual thought. Then he thought that sensual thought has arisen in me. And it is harming me, harming others, harming both. And it is destructive of intuitive wisdom. So then the harming thought subsided. So the what is this destructive of intuitive wisdom? That is this, the intuitive wisdom over here, this not handcuffed associated with families. So similarly, the bodhisattva got the ill will thought. Then he thought the ill will thought has arisen in me. And it is harming me, it is harming others, harming both. And it is destructive of intuitive wisdom. And then the ill will thought subsided. Similarly, when he got the harming thought the same way. The harming thought has arisen me, within me it is harming me, harming others, harming both, and it is destructive of intuitive wisdom. So then the harming thought subsided. So that is what the part now, not tankering after associating with families means not mine. Then you get the right view from the right view to get the right thought. So then you couple that one with the twofold thought discourse, you're coming back to the left side, giving up sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought. Then you are following through the eightfold path. And then now you are qualified to spread the loving kindness. So you got eight skill state of the mind at this particular time. So let us go to the discourse again. Now it says, Eke chipana bhutatti tasavatavra vanu sesa digavaye mahantava majjimarasa tanutatula dittavaye va aditta echa dure vasanti avidure bhutava sambhavesiva sabve satta bhavantu sukhitattva. This diga means lengthy ones, like, you know, snakes. And the mahanta means big ones, like elephants. Majjima means like, you know, cows, middle size. Dittavai aditta, one that you can actually see and you cannot see. Dure, vasanti avidure means they are far or near. Bhutava sambhavesiva means that those who are born. Sambhavesi means yet to be born. So for all those creatures, living beings, may all beings have happy minds. You are spreading loving kindness. Having been qualified to spread the loving kindness, you spread the loving kindness. But when you actually spread in loving kindness to these animals, what do you actually see? You see, you can see when you are walking, you know, ants are dying, and the snails are dying, you know, and then you can see a fly is coming, and then hitting a tree or something, and then it is dying. What you see is the sample of death. You know, you hear that your relatives are dying maybe in 7 months' time or so. But every hour, you can see that the ants are dying, that living beings are dying. So if you see the sample of death, then you don't become arrogant. You see, if let us say a very rich man is there, and then he got sick, and then doctor is coming to his house and saying, because of this sickness, you might die in the next hour. So although he has got these cars and properties and so on, I mean, what's the point, isn't it, if you are dying? So now keep this one in mind, that, you know, by trying to spread the loving kindness, you saw the sample of death. Now let's go into the next gatha. Napuro parani gupeta jnati manyeta kattachinam kanchi vyarosana patika sanya jnanya manyasa dukkamichaya. Let him not deceive another, nor despise anyone anywhere. In anger or ill will, let him not wish another ill. This nikupeta means that you know, you are not considering, you know, the killing chicken, and it is not a gain for me. That is that part over here. And then jnati manyeta means you are not putting yourself up because you saw the sample of death. So if you have seen the sample of death, and then you are not becoming arrogant, so you are not despising anyone. This vyarosana patika sanya, that's anger or ill will, let him not wish another ill, has been marked in this particular diagram. So underneath the anger, you can see in anger, number 11, in anger, let him not wish another ill. In other words, then we can remove the anger. How? Why we can't normally remove the anger? Because permanency is associated with the anger. Let us say, in a village, there is someone and another person is harming this person. So a friend is coming. So to that friend, that person is saying, you know that this particular person in our village is a horrible guy and is, you know, so much trouble for us. But this your friend sort of know about this person, and having heard this one, he is saying patiently, do you know that he has got a sickness? And doctor has got given him only 6 months. Now 5 months have been already passed. So he might die tomorrow or, you know, next day or so. In that case, you don't have the anger, isn't it? Because the permanency is not there. Remember, anger got the permanency. We have feeling, we come to the barb of faith, we go back to the feeling, means rotating, then you are spinning. So therefore anger is there. So now you saw the sample of death. Therefore, there is no permanence. If you are dying, there is no permanence. So the anger can be removed. And then Patika Sanya. In ill will, let him not wish. Another ill is marked over here, next to the ill will over here. So Patika means if you see something from the eye, then you become upset. Because you see, you look at someone and then you are saying, this person is so beautiful, and then next millisecond, you find a fault in that person's body, maybe a pimple or something. So then you get this sadness. So now, again, you learn that birth and then aging, sickness and death. So if you have seen the sample of death by trying to spread the loving kindness, then before the death, you must understand that you got to have the aging. So if you have understand the aging, then you don't get the ill will. My grandfather was angry, have the ill will because his taste buds are gone and he was not aware of that. But if you know that aging is there, then the ill will can be removed. So now you have 9 still state of the mind. The bad ones that we do from the mind is wrong view, ill will, and the covetousness. So wrong view we got rid of, number 9. Not hanged after associating with families. And number 12 we got rid of the ill will. So we got the 9 still state of the mind. Now we are spreading loving kindness. How we spread the loving kindness? Let us go to the next gatha. It says, Mata yata niyam puttam nāyusā eka puttam anurākyo. Evaṁ pisabhu bhūtesu mānasam bhāve aparimāna. Just as a mother would protect her only child with her life, even so let one cultivate a boundless love towards all beings. How would a mother protect her only child? If a mother is carrying a baby, going across a river or bridge or something, then if the baby is fallen to the river, she would jump. Even if she can't swim, she would jump to protect her baby. When a mother is thinking about the baby, she always think that let this some goodness come to the baby. She is not thinking let this guy be dead. So in other words, mother has got the purified mental actions towards her own baby. When mother is uttering a speech to the baby, she is not having a harsh speech. She is saying good words. In other words, mother has got purified verbal actions towards her own baby. When the mother is giving something to the baby, she is not giving poison, or she is not giving a knife to put inside the mouth of the baby. In other words, mother has got purified physical actions towards her own baby. In other words, mother has got purified mental, verbal, and physical actions towards her own baby. So, Buddha is asking you to spread the loving kindness to the entire universe with the purified verbal, mental and physical actions. So if you are not actually, you know, if you are saying, let my child be well, and you are not thinking that let this guy be dead and have the men purified mental actions, then you have to treat your neighbor's son or daughter in the same way, but to have purified mental actions. If you are not, you know, abusing by words your baby, you have purified verbal actions, then you need to treat the next door neighbor's baby as well in the same way, not to have the, you know, bad verbal actions. If you are not giving poison or a knife to put inside the mouth for your baby and have purified physical actions, then you should do the same for your next door neighbor's baby. So for your next door neighbor, you take your garden. Inside your garden also there are families, worm families, isn't it? So if I ask you whether you kill animals, and most of you will say, no, we don't. But if I ask you whether you make these plants, you know, flower plants and so on, are you planting them? You say yes. So if you are planting them, then you are killing, because the worms are underneath. Now just imagine your baby is there underneath that, you know, the soil. If the next door neighbor is coming up with a hoe or something to, you know, dig, what would the mother do? She would put her body in front of that one, say, don't dig, my baby is inside, underneath this one. That is this beauty of this wording over here, Mataya Taniyam Putta. You know, a mother would protect her only child. That is the way that we should be protecting. So, now there is a problem, isn't it? Now you can't even plant these plants, flower and all those things. So, why do you actually have this, you know, flower pots and things? It is because my next door neighbor is having a real nice garden. And he's like, you know, he's in a flowery people in that particular class. I wanted to be included in that class. My front house, my left side, also the same. So I wanted to be included in that class of flowery people. Now you can see this particular guy is the culprit over here, that is handcuffed associated with families. And if you want to be a beautiful, you know, have a happy garden and so on, and then at that particular time we forget about that little creature. You know, you have about 5.5 speed long body, and then the worm is only 2 inches. And then if you don't have a loving kindness for that 2 inches, then that means you don't have loving kindness. You know. So now you can see in this meditation, this particular part, number 9, is playing a big role here. And if you are doing that one, if you are not hankering, that means it's purifying your mind. So, so we learn this gatha, that you would have to spread the loving kindness with the purified mental, verbal and physical actions. And then it says, Mettancha sabba lokasmi manasambhave aparimana. Uddang adocha tiriyancha asambhadang averang asapat. Let him radiate boundless love towards the entire world. Above, below, across, unhindered, without ill will, without enmity. So for above you can take Aghanitta Brahmarela, and below you can take the earth. Across you can see between Aghanitta Brahmarela and the earth, there are these hells, divine worlds, other Brahma realms. So you are spreading loving kindness to so many. And without ill will and without enmity. So with a purified physical, verbal and mental actions. And then Tittan Charan Nisinova Sayanova Yavata Savigatamindu Etan Sating Aditya Brahma Metan Viharangidama. When that person is standing, walking, sitting or reclining, As long as he is awake, let him develop this mindfulness. This, they say, is noble living. Brahma Medha is noble living. What is it? That I am a person with a purified mental, verbal and physical actions. I am spreading loving kindness, and then you are mindful about this. So that is the noble living. So you see, we have to be careful when, let us say, you are doing a mathematical sum and maybe some fly or mosquito biting you. So if you have attention to that thing, and then you might kill this little creature. And even when we preach Dhamma, we need to be sort of careful. Maybe our body parts are sort of pointing at somebody else's body. Look at the Buddha's mindfulness over there. And he was holding like that one, not pointing at anybody else's. And then we come to the last gatha. Dittin chanapugamma silava dasanena sampanna. Kame suvinaya geda naijadu gapaseyam punareti. Not falling into wrong views. Being virtuous, endowed with insight, lusting the senses discarded. Very never again will he return to conceive in a womb. So, not falling into wrong views, being virtuous. This particular part is marked in the diagram next to the virtue part over here, number 30. Not falling into wrong views, being virtuous. You see, we started with the virtue part, seven precepts. The bad things we do from the body, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, we gave up. Bad things we, verbal things we do, lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. And then, along the way, you become obedient, gentle, humble. And when you are coming to number 9, you are not handcuffed associated with families, means it is not mine. So then you got rid of the bad, one of those bad mental ones, wrong view. So you got the 8 skill states. And then when you are coming to the number 12, you got rid of the ill will as well. So now you have 9 skill states. Now you find that your virtue is not thorough yet, because I still have covetousness. That is the bad mental action. So then, now, why the covetousness? Covetousness is because of the lust in the senses. So, number 14, this is supposed to be over here because I don't have space. We have written over here. Lust in the senses discarded. And you are saying, I am not going to return to a mother's womb. If I am going to a mother's womb, then I would have sexual misconduct. That means I get the delusion. In other words, I have to destroy this number 9. That my right view got to go away. I don't want to do that. I am not going to go in a canal of urine and excrement. So that is what is Metta Sutta is. We have sort of heard this one as a Metta Sutta said to chase away demons. But thanks to Sampati Mahabrahma, we understand. Now this is a path to Nibbana. This is a knowledge path that is heading you to the Nibbana. So some of you are aware of the Metta Sutta. And even if you do not know, you need to go through these 15 parts over here. So just don't repeat like a parrot. You need to go by one by one. So upright, how do you do the meditation? We look at the upright. And then you take your virtue parts. You know, you refrain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. Even a farmer can do this meditation. You know, when the farmer was farming, he was actually, you know, little creatures, worms died. But if the farmer is over here, is he actually a farmer? Right over here, we don't have any engineer, doctor, anyone. It's just a person who is meditating. So at this particular moment, you give up, you know, killing. And if you die, because we do not know when we are dying, we might die right away over here. So if you die, then you probably go to Nibbana. or else you might go to Ramabad. You are not going to go, you know, to do the farming. So leave this particular movement. And so you take your precepts when you approve it, and then you become exceedingly upright. You are abiding by that. Then you become gentle. Then you become obedient. For the obedient part, remember yesterday we tried to get rid of this envy, stinginess, derogation and disparaging. Now you don't have to do that meditation. But you think, you know, yesterday I was having understood these things are bad. I try to get rid of it. So then you become obedient. In other words, you know, you have the good qualities. You are not going to take this good quality away. I'm not killing. Therefore, I have some good quality. I'm not going to remove that one. And I'm not killing. I'm not going to disparage it so that I'm going to do the killing. I am not envy. The other person is going in a Benz car and then he is having a good time. He is eating chicken. So I don't have the stinginess regarding the gain. So therefore my virtue will stand. So I become obedient. When I become obedient, then I become gentle. Remember, gentle means not having this bodily conduct, bodily impoliteness, the verbal impoliteness. Those two are gone. So again, we said that we are not ordering this. Even the bodily impoliteness, that first monk is there, then you are putting your body next to the first monk, thinking that my one is better. So you are not ordering either. So when you become gentle, then you become humble. So because we start with the virtue part, so the arrogance is gone, then you become humble. When you are humble, means that I am not giving value to, you know, chicken farming or things like that one, killing. So therefore, I don't have the permanency. So then I have the less taint of views. And therefore, I have less taint of sensual desire. Now two persons are not hitting me. Therefore, I can control the senses. So now, at this particular moment, you might remember that Dhammapada Gatha, that it is good to restrain, you know, your bodily actions, verbal actions and mental actions. And it's good to restrain all of them. By that way also you become prudent. Or else you can think how I was walking in that shopping mall. You know, the rapture was flowing. So by that way also one become prudent. When you become prudent, you are not thinking that the king and myself are equal. You know, king is suffering, I am suffering. So when you become prudent, you become courteous. And when you become courteous, you are not thinking that the king's family is having a good time. So in other words, you are not handcuffed associated with families. Not handcuffed associated with families means not mine. Therefore, you get the right view. From the right view, you get the right thought. And then you couple with the twofold thought discourse. So you are giving up sensual thought, ill thought and harming thought. You are coming to the left side. Now you are following the eightfold path, right view, the right thought. Thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. So you're giving up this lying, harsh speech and so on. So you have eight skill state of the mind. And then you are qualified to spread the loving kindness. May all beings be happy. So then you spread the loving kindness to the lengthy ones like snakes, you know, the big ones and so on. And what you actually see is the sample of death. The ants are dying, you know, snails are dying, dogs are dying, humans are dying and so on. So when you understand that there is the sample of death, then there is no permanency. Then the anger can be removed. So you come to number 11. And also, then if you understand this, there is this death. Before that one, there must be aging, sickness. So when you understand that aging is there, then the ill will can be abandoned. having understood it. So then in ill will, let him not wish another ill. So now we have 9 skill state of the mind. Now you are spreading loving kindness as a mother with the purified, the physical, verbal and mental actions towards the entire universe. So then the next one, that is spreading loving kindness to the above, below, you know, across, towards the Akhneta and everywhere, without enmity and without ill will. And then when you are standing, sitting, whatever posture you have, you are mindful that I am a person with a purified mental, verbal and physical actions, that I am spreading loving kindness. So that mindfulness over there is the noble living, Brahma Metta. And then we come to the last gatha, that Dittinchanapagama Silava, not falling into wrong views, being virtuous. So here we started with the virtue part, and along the way we understood that anchoring up associated with these families is bad. So the wrong view is abandoned and we got the right view. We got the 8 skill states. Number 12, we got the ill will is abandoned. So therefore we got 9 skill state of the mind. Now still we have my virtue is not thorough, isn't it? Because covetousness is there. So then covetousness is coming up because of the lust in the senses. So then we say lust in the senses discarded. I am not going to return to conceive in mother's womb. So if I am going to do that one, then I am going to have a sexual misconduct. That means that leads to delusion. Then I am destroying this number 9. I don't want to do that. So that is the meditation. So if you can, go up to number 15. But if you can't, at least go up to number 7 over here. You know, controlling the senses and then prudent, and then spread the loving kindness to the living beings. So as I said, this is a knowledge path, and there's it is no point rushing this one. You need to go one by one. So let us have a discussion, and then we will have the meditation.